welcome everybody to another episode of Vodka and Juice Boxes. The only play date where these girls are spilling their secrets. Sit back, grab a cocktail, enjoy today's confession session with our young moms and their sister hosts, Amanda and Juliet, who kept talking right through my intro here.
Sorry.
Very embarrassing.
Wow.
That's all it takes, huh?
Blew the mic right out of that one.
Hey, Paul, thank you so much for, again, another amazing introduction. Welcome to episode 5,000 of Vodka and Juice Boxes.
5,000.
We are here in the studio with Mr. Tony Penn, Mr. Mom. But before we get into that introduction, real quick, we need to talk about the important details of what's in our drink, Amanda.
Well, Tony said he had to pick a cocktail, so he chose vodka grapefruit, but I don't buy the juice. I'm going to do in a pinch or whatever, but I used to have a ruby red grapefruit tree, and it was heavenly, so I just bought some from the shop because mine died.
Yeah.
So I hand juice these pups, put a little bit of sugar in it, and
it's perfect.
Here we go. And
there
some Tito's.
Can we
like
cheers to that?
We can cheers to that. This is
welcome,
the best drink
Tony.
I've ever had in my life.
Oh, I don't know Tony very well, but I'm about to get to the bottom of it.
So, Tony, why don't you introduce yourself and why the heck are you here?
My name's Tony Penn, and I don't know why I'm here.
Really,
so some woman came up to me off the street and asked me to be on her show. So that's why I'm here, and I'm prepared to discuss whatever it is that you feel is important.
Well, Tony, came across your, you had a blog post recently.
Oh, the blog post!
Yeah, Tony is a blogger, and on top of being a business consultant, he also blogs, and a really random blog, actually. It's called Heaven and Hell, Raising a Teenage Daughter, and so he is an entrepreneur, works from home, manages all kinds of companies, startups, restaurants, all kinds of good things, on top of raising a daughter all on his own. And this blog was fantastic, and we were really intrigued and wanted to know, we want to hear your insight about being Mr. Mom and what that entails. So we can start off with, how was your morning?
Well, that's pretty funny that you brought that up. I don't know. Is it coincidental that it was one of the, in the Heaven and Hell series, it was the hell morning.
Oh, no.
All the perfect storm of things happening, being sick, starting her girl thing.
What's the girl thing, Tony?
Oh, kids, you know what I'm talking about.
I want to know what dad.
Daughter have her period.
Yeah. Yes, that's what it was.
How old is she?
She's be 17 in 2 weeks. So.
17.
As she will tell you. I'm almost 17, Dad. So, 2 weeks.
Get it right.
So, yeah. So, we had sickness, normal, like sickness flu, and then we had sickness girl.
Mm-hmm.
So, we had, is this new sickness or something you're just adapting to?
This is new sickness. It could
Can
be related to her trip to Coachella, but, you know, that's a whole other story.
Wait, what?
So, okay. So, when his daughter started her, I don't know, is this a new thing?
Yeah, it's a new.
Oh, did she just got her period?
No. I'm sorry. She started 4 years ago.
4 years ago. Okay, that would make more sense. Okay.
She started right when she started living with me.
So you're saying your daughter's a bitch when she's on her period?
I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying is
I'm assuming because I have two girls, which obviously haven't had them, but since I know girls so well. Keep going.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's that. And then we had our normal strawberry acai from Starbucks that we ordered online.
Right.
And then from our phone. And then we go pick it up. And they didn't have it today. They were out of it.
Oh.
So there's
she's
that.
Pissed.
And she's pissed. And we're running late for school, which I told her
so
we are not running
good.
Late anymore. And
BMSing,
if you could just
no
see the look on her face.
Oh, what? Can you describe
didn't
that
didn't have
look,
time
please?
To finish her makeup. And oh, my God. What a morning.
Dad, these are very important issues for a teen
These are very important issues in the big scheme of things. No. Actually,
how did
so you
deal with
stay
it?
Out of her way.
Yeah.
Well, you know, here's the deal. It's one of the things you learn is when to speak and when not to. Like, if you saying something is going to actually benefit the situation,
right.
then by all means say it.
Right. Okay.
But if you saying it is just going to stick a little gas on it, you know,
right,
on the fire,
right.
then you just shut the hell up. You
so,
know?
Like, this whole morning, when you were experiencing all these, everything could possibly go wrong, how did you react? Like, did you just keep your mouth shut and just kind of continue with the process?
Or? Yeah, I kept my mouth shut because I saw it all happening
the
at the same time.
Yeah.
And,
slow spiral.
And when I saw her walking out of Starbucks with that look on her face.
Oh, God.
Like, she threw they gave her a card. Here, you know, get something free next time you're in. She threw the card down in the car. They're out of strawberry acai today. And I'm like,
So is this a life lesson I have to know that yes. you learned with having a daughter or while married?
It's part of my personality is to try to figure out when the right time to say things.
Okay.
And time
so
to
you
shut
were
the
probably
hell up.
Really good at this while you were married then.
Yes. And just to make it clear, and I don't know how it's relevant to the story or not, but I wasn't married to her mom. So,
right.
but
right.
I learned in relationships that
in relationships is
yes.
my main question. Right. Yeah. Is this, I was wondering if a daughter, having a teenage daughter on your own, has enlightened you, or have you always been in tune?
It has enhanced the need
yes.
to Very know when to shut up. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
I love that I feel like that's coming to Brian. Brian was
yeah.
a very, my husband was a very self-centered person before he got married and before he had first girls. Girl
and
number
second
two.
Girl, yeah.
So I like seeing all
how
of that
old are
crumble.
They now?
I love it. It's so wonderful.
Geez. Amanda's girls are 5 and 1.5.
Oh, God bless
no,
you.
5 and 1. Five and one.
Oh, she's only
And
one.
I like right. seeing the whole, even with a one-year-old, Dad! There's three of them that are always like that, and it's really fun to watch.
It's going to be super fun in a few years, so just enjoy it. Anyway.
So we want to go a little, let's backtrack a little bit. First of all, Tony, can you share with us how old you are?
Can you share with how old I am?
Yeah.
Only because a couple of people were asking. We put up single dad, and then everyone's radar went, what?
And I, as the only other guy with gray hair in the room, can't wait to hear what his answer is.
Silver well, foxes, tell me how old you are.
I am actually old as dirt. Is that
Get out of here. You're not 2.5 billion.
You don't want to.
I'm 57.
Okay, 57. So, perfect.
57 years young.
He's
young.
A kid. He's a kid. I'm 62. He's a kid.
You look good for 62. That's all I got to say.
Got babies. Okay, so can you share with us any backstory? Like when, first of all, are we allowed to say your daughter's name?
Sure, her name's Alanis.
Alanis.
Oh, what a great name.
She's beautiful.
What
if
a
anyone,
name. She's really pretty.
You guys
too.
Can head over. You want to take a look at her. She.
No, don't.
Well,
I
she's
don't
on Penultimate on Instagram. We've tagged
you?
Them.
Was she named after Alanis Morissette?
Yeah, she was.
Really? Because that's the only other time I've ever
no,
heard of
her. No, her mother didn't know what to name her, and so she just named her Alanis because she loves Alanis Morissette. There
that's great.
I love the
that's,
name. I think
I freaking love the name.
She
awesome.
Gets mispronounced all the time. It's a little annoying.
We all
she
do.
Gets Atlantis a lot.
So they add letters.
And then the
to
East Coasters
name.
Call her Alanis.
Alanis.
Yeah.
I like Alanis. That's yeah. awesome. Can you, okay, go ahead and give us a little backstory.
How long have you been a single parent?
Yeah.
It's been about 4 years.
Okay.
It was just kind of a situation where her mother was had an. You know, a new family and had a new kid, and she has an older sister from another dad. Mm-hmm. And so my daughter was kind of in fifth place in that house. Mm-hmm. And I saw some changes with respect to how she was doing in school. And,
right.
And so I just, and I always volunteered. No matter any time.
Right.
And those of you that are single parents know this, so I don't have to tell you anything you don't know, but it's hard to parent over the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's like, yes, daddy, of course I won't give my mom a hard time. But,
yeah.
you know,
right, yeah.
you know how that goes.
It's
and then as soon as she gets
different.
Off the phone,
yeah.
And so, how far away did she live? Somebody wanted to know that.
She probably about 45 minutes to an hour. Not,
okay,
not
so she
far.
Wasn't in another state
no, no, no,
or whatever.
No, she was relatively
still
close.
A good distance.
And I was there on the weekends, you know, right. and whenever I had time. And
it,
there was
it
never any,
difference.
Just so you understand, there was never any issues with respect to custody.
Right.
Her deal was whenever you want to see your daughter, you can see her.
That's
so
awesome.
There was never any animosity in that respect. And from the time she was a little girl, I always volunteered. Hey, if she can come live with me, it's fine.
Yeah.
If it's a problem. So.
Right.
She, right around 6th, 7th grade, you know, I saw her grades starting to dip, so I just told her mom and her that if you can't pull it together, then you're just going to have to come live with the old man.
Yeah.
And so she didn't pull it together and came to live with the old man. So
how did she do with the transition?
She did great. You know, it's like...
What kid doesn't flourish with the one-on-one, you know?
I know.
And
yeah,
I think that was a bit, I think you're right about that. And that she got a lot more attention, and I don't know if she was like... ecstatic. She wasn't jumping up and down, but I never got any attitude about it. And
right.
to this day, I've never, attitude has not been the issues we deal with.
That's so cool.
Mainly because she understands that's just kind of way up at the top of what you don't do.
But how does she right. deal with the change in friends and all that stuff? Change of school, change
she was, in friends. She was fine with that. Not to, you know, dwell too long on that story, but her family, her stepfather and her mom moved in the middle of a school year to another school in Whittier.
So she's used to transition.
Right. And so you know, that bothered her more than having to come live with
gotcha,
me. So,
right.
You know, she's also pretty personable, so she didn't have, like, a hard time making friends.
Right.
So it didn't, yeah, she was fine with the transition.
Oh, good to
awesome.
Know. I worry about that a lot.
Yeah.
With my, with, I don't know, questioning adventure. I have a girlfriend that keeps moving her children everywhere for an adventure, and it's such a good idea. I just always worry about the inside, you know, school.
Yep.
So thank you for that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So, she's 16 going on, I am 16 going on 17.
What about boys?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask, yeah.
What do you do about boys?
Okay.
No boys.
Is there boys in the picture?
Boys allowed.
We're living in a boy-free zone.
No. Okay, I want to know all your insights on that. Like,
well,
have you had,
She's not boy crazy.
But do you have you ever had, like, the talk? Or
yeah, no, we've had the talk.
Well, I want to hear this, yeah.
She had a boyfriend, and he was a little bit older, you know? She was 16, he was 18.
Oh, yeah, okay. 2 years, that was always my jam. Mm,
yeah, and he was a nice kid, you know, and I will say this about any boy, it's not like she's had a lot of boyfriends, but anybody, she knows automatically that anybody she's friends with has to come around.
Right.
So they have to introduce themselves, and we have to have a conversation.
Yeah. She likes older boys because she's got very close to dad, and so she knows how a man is supposed to be, or even a boy, and she's not going to get that from her own age.
Exactly. You know what? As long as he's a good dude, I'm not.
Well, and so how do you set
those? No, that's good. I appreciate that.
How do you set those standards for her, though? Did you ever, like, sit down and be like, or do you just lead by example?
You know what?
Yep, that's all you can do.
If you were, like, ask me, the parenting tip here is, because it's just a lot of Charlie Brown's teacher when you're talking to your kid, you know? And so it's more like just both watch me and you know, let me kind of lead by example. Now, let me say a few things that I think are you know, instead of just constantly badgering you.
Yeah, Brian alone is a man of few words when it comes to serious stuff, too.
Yeah.
So, makes sense.
So, yeah, she had a boyfriend, and he was a good kid. Very nice. Came around, and we all made dinner, and you know, he didn't have a lot going on for her, you know, like, he just didn't, yeah, he wasn't intellectually.
He wasn't stimulating her.
So
was it her decision for the breakup?
According to her, it appeared that way. I don't know all the behind the scenes conversations, but it appeared that way.
Okay.
She's, and you know, one of the things I would say as a tip was, I listen to her stories, like even the ones that are super boring and kind of juvenile and stupid.
Well, that's what we do to our husbands.
Right.
Yeah. Same. It's a relationship.
But then I found out that because I do that, then I get the good stories too.
Yeah.
So I get the real information on what's going on, and she's not afraid to say it. So she's pretty open about most things.
Right.
Does she like ever come up to you and just be like, hey, Dad, I want to talk? Or do you actually sit her down and be like, hey, like, how was your day?
Yeah, what's her opening statement?
Her opening statement is, well, I asked about this boy. I go, is this a boyfriend? No, we're just friends, Dad. You know, guys can be friends. They don't have to be your
I married
boyfriend.
Nine. Yes, you
and
did.
I'm like, okay. And I could tell the difference.
Yeah,
so then, like, 3 days later, she's like, Dad, I need to talk to you.
That's
Max
so cute.
Is now my boyfriend.
And I'm so, like, what did you say? I want to know what's your reaction?
I'm like, oh, shocker. No, I was like, okay.
My reaction
was okay. So kind of knew that anyway. But thanks for telling me.
A little party foul. No worries.
Party foul.
Keep going. Keep going.
Tighten up. There you go. Keep going.
Okay. So
about that.
So yeah, she was pretty open about it, and he was, you know, and she's like, he wants to come meet you, and he wants to have dinner, and he wants to do this and that.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
And I was like, okay.
So did you cook when they came over?
Yeah, I cooked.
What'd you cook?
I made some steaks and some Caesar salad. I made her make the Caesar salad because so that he could
learn to cook.
Yeah,
he can see how domestic she was. Her is.
So, yeah, I mean, it sounds like you are super hands-on. I mean, that's amazing. Like, you're just super welcoming to the changes. Like, I mean,
well, I'm welcoming to those individuals that understand that that's part of the process.
Right.
I want you to walk us through your day routine.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to sound really weird, but in the morning, all moms have their thing. Like, now you got to do your hair, you got to do your teeth, you got to do your breakfast, you got to do, like, every woman knows the life of a mom from start to finish. When you wake up, your brain runs on mom. And I think that's one of our biggest, probably, We get so annoyed that, like, you guys get to go up and go to work and be the best, like, in my husband's perspective, the best lineman there is. You
Aaron
know?
Gets
like,
to leave.
I want to talk about Mr. Mom. I want to talk about how you do both.
Yeah.
Well, it's, and believe me, you certainly appreciate what a lot of women have to go through.
And, of course, but you'll never know. You know,
single
women
that work, and I mean, yeah, everybody knows that parenting is a full-time freaking job. So it's not like.
Yeah, so tell me about your full-time job.
What time does she wake up?
Well, she wakes up, and again, I think I have it pretty good because I've...
She's a teenager now.
Yeah, but she wakes up on her own, and she has since she moved in with me. So,
so she's self-sufficient,
yeah,
which
she,
helps.
She gets up, and she takes care of herself. I mean, nowadays, I have to be a little more prodding because of the makeup thing, because that's a thing now.
She takes a long time, or
yeah,
what?
She takes a long time, and I'm trying to teach her that... Being late is not cool, you know?
It's definitely.
So you got to figure out how to make this happen.
My husband's still trying to teach that to me. He's like, listen, this is disrespectful.
I'm not doing such a great job there. But so she kind of handles her own business in the morning and the makeup. And it's just me kind of... And then we talk about, you know, if there's any homework. I help her gather her stuff up. She's not like super neat and organized.
Mm-hmm.
She's exactly opposite of that. So... it's like, you know, let's pull it together. Like, do we have it? Everything we need. And
what's breakfast like? Is that Starbucks every morning? Or?
It's Starbucks. I do. She doesn't like to sit down and eat breakfast.
Breakfast is hard for me. I wanted to know if it ever gets easier.
No, it does.
Like, what do you feed them?
Like we do. Yeah, we'll do like granola bars and stuff. She doesn't sit down and we used to do cereal all the time when she was a little bit younger, but now she's just like, and there's her little spot. Across the street from the school, they all go there and grab a, you know,
bagel or something.
Yeah, exactly. So,
all right.
Awesome. And then she's at school.
So, yeah, she's at school, and that's always a communication because, you know, the thing that happens at this age is money.
Right.
So she has a job, so she gets a little bit of money. But it's always about.
Do you do the allowance thing? Yeah. You never did, or did you?
Well, no, it's just kind of now that she has a job. Sometimes she'll blow it all on getting her nails done or something.
I definitely want to do allowance.
Do you?
I want to teach.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well,
because girls are so freaking needy. I don't know if I want to commit to that. Did you?
What's that? I had an allowance, yeah.
You did.
I loved it. Only I love it. We never had allowance. Are you kidding? My mom could barely buy groceries. We had wish we had an allowance. But with Aaron, they didn't buy any extra toys, and so they did have the whole allowance thing. And so Aaron would save up.
That's interesting. So if they did do allowance, there was no extras.
There was no extras.
Okay,
and
I
so
like
Aaron
that.
Had to save all of his money to buy his Lego pieces
or the airplane.
And so then he loved his toys and respected them more.
Yes.
And so then he understood the value of money as well. It's like, okay, well, I have $20 and this is $15. And guess what? You only have $5, but then the thing you want is $50. So
but you only have $5 for another 7 days to decide what
exactly.
you want to do.
And
you know?
I think that's why Aaron is so much better with money than I am.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That is a good point because we are not good.
Okay, so we're going to go to commercial break real quick and we're going to start back where we left off. We want to hear about Coachella weekend and how the conversation came up. Hey, Dad, can I go to Coachella? What his thought process was and what the heck happened. So tune in just a few minutes.
Taking your vision and making it a reality. Tony Penn has worked with over 127 different companies over the years to solve their growth, financial, people, and communication issues. From top-notch restaurant chains such as Buco di Pepe to House of Blues to small business owners, he focuses on implementing change that serves up results. So, Tony works with people. He can work with you. Why don't you find out more about his services at Penultimate? There's a word you got to go look up. Penultimate. Consulting.
Penultimate consulting.
Penultimate consulting. So easy for Juliet to say. Penultimate consulting. Right here. And then go check out J-Dub Design, too, here. PenultimateConsulting.com. All right. So I just got to... We'll take a quick break. And let everybody know that Amanda's been wonderful cleaning up. She's the bartender here in the room here, and she's cleaned up. So how did the mess happen? What have we been knocked over?
The microphone.
The microphone wasn't tightened and slacked and just knocked over the drink.
Yeah, wow. I think that's the host, but that could be my imagination.
Hey.
Yeah.
So awesome. I got one question before you jump into all the stuff here. I'm not hearing the hell. I'm not hearing the health stories.
I know. So far, really? It's been pretty.
Really?
Heavenly.
Were you there this morning? Okay, I didn't think so.
I know.
I'm hearing annoyance. I'm not hearing health. And I'll be honest and real for a second. When my daughter turned 16, we entered a health phase for a couple of years. It was a very difficult phase. And, you know, there were lots of issues, like even running away for a day or, you know, stuff like that.
I did that.
And
Juliet ran away a lot.
And what happened was, really, if I look back on it, it was she went from being this cute little girl that always wanted to please us and do things for us to boys, and suddenly she was lying. I was not prepared for her to lie. She'd never lie. Covering up, hiding, and not sharing suddenly. That was very difficult for us to deal with.
I don't want
to
know that yet.
You're telling these poor young mothers.
Damn it. Too bad. Tell us.
Yeah, tell us.
Otherwise, you know, people are going to get there and be like, well, no one fucking warned me about this.
Oh, I'm warning you.
Tell me.
We're both warning you.
Yeah. Spill the beans.
I just have an only child, and we adopted her, so we was even closer because, you know, I think there was a bond that was there. She was looking for someone, we were looking for someone, so we were very, very bonded.
Miraculous.
For a number of years. And then all of a sudden, 16 came and boys came, and who is this person? This person that's covering up, that's not telling the truth,
That's going to break my husband's heart.
Yeah.
It
broke my heart. It really did.
And while, you know, that there's more, you know, issues that I have, some of the issues I don't have, but the lying and you know, kind of started off a little bit initially, and I tried to create an environment that was a little safe so that she could lie a little bit and
tell the truth. It might be different for you since she's seen both sides.
Right.
She's seen where it is with mom, and she's seen the relationship that she has earned through development on the other side.
And that's what I cut. Yeah.
Well, and she has a different story that we don't have time for. So, I mean, that's part of it too. But I think that the transformation is real. And I don't think a lot you can do about it. I think a lot of parents try to keep them busy, keep them active, you know. But
that would be my mechanism. Does that not work?
But I know people that have kids that are busy and active that have a lot of problems too.
Right.
So
really?
It's not a guarantee.
God bless it.
But. Yeah. I don't know.
But like you said, creating.
And then all kids are different, too. You
know? It's true.
We kept our daughter going 24/7 if we could. We had her in basketball. We had her in all sorts of sports. She was very good at it. Gave her a lot of, you know, self-confidence and self-worth and stuff.
Did that work out?
Teamwork stuff. That helped. But it didn't stop the boy issue.
Yeah.
And that was the one that, you know, really separated us for a couple of years. Suddenly we were fighting. Suddenly we were confrontational. Suddenly we felt hurt. Suddenly she wasn't sharing, and then she feel bad about herself too later. Okay, I should have told you this, and I should have done that and everything, but then boom, we're right back to doing it again. So it was a couple of years of that before she kind of got that a handle on that and how to integrate us into it.
And I'll tell you this, that most parents try to beat themselves up and try, what should I do differently? I would have done this or that. But a lot of it is just the evolution of a human brain.
I agree.
You know? The teenage brain just doesn't comprehend information.
Amen.
At least at that time. And so what ends up happening is it's in there, it's stored in there, and then it clicks at some age down the road when you're oh, yeah, I get it now.
These tools pop up at random times.
And I tell my daughter that stuff all the time. It's like, I'm saying this, and you don't appreciate it. I can appreciate that you don't appreciate it, but you will one day. So I'll still be alive.
They say it's past 12. You can no longer influence.
They
have all that they have from you. They've gained it all.
And that's
it's
why,
up to them to use it accordingly to each situation.
And that's why you build
the
that
only thing I will say is that the one thing I do give my daughter credit for, or maybe myself credit for sometimes, is that she'll ignore and, you know, like things that I say, but I hear her talk to other people and she'll be saying the things that I said.
Oh, that's got to be so rewarding.
Awesome. That's kind of made me feel a little better.
That's kind of
absolutely.
No, it is.
That's about
rewarding.
The only thing that made me feel better.
It is rewarding, because one time I was at Juliet's house and my 5-year-old was telling her 4-year-old, Zeke, I'm not mad at you. I'm just really stressed out. and then she looked at me like, that's you. And I'm like, well, I'm not sorry for it. At least she knows. Like, she's communicating,
that's
you know?
Amazing.
And it's like,
at least she's apologizing.
No, that's fantastic.
That was supposed to be an apology.
No, it's great. I've even heard Bowie be like, Ezekiel, I'm just trying to play with you right now so you can just calm down. Look at the trains. Remember when they're at the train table and Zeke didn't want to share his trains? I'm just trying to play with you, Ezekiel.
They soak it up, and whether they use it appropriately or not is their decision, but you can't control it, you know?
So can I ask the really obvious question? Hmm. Is there a difference? I don't know if you have other children. I didn't.
I do.
Is there a difference between boys and girls?
Yes.
Because the boy,
oh, you, do have
you just send him out into the world, and you say, good luck, have fun, and you don't worry about it. The girl, you're afraid. We know it. They're going to get pregnant.
Paul just said it right there.
Gee, thanks. I was feeling pretty good about myself for a second.
If you send your kids out in the world, they're going to get pregnant.
Oh, my God. That, can we hashtag that?
Girl.
Get the fuck out of here.
You're girl.
That's what I said. You're like the narrator from Pitch Perfect.
Yeah. No, and you want to, because I'm going to. First, while we were talking about all this, the whole boys thing, that wasn't my issue growing up. My mom never had to worry about guys. She
Mom had to worry about me with boys.
Boys.
Mm. I never drank, smoked, snuck out of the house, lied to my mother until boys were in the picture.
Yeah, right, and so, exactly. But for boy, my mom felt sorry for any man, that any boy I would bring home, because I was just... I'm just crazy. And so
both
our
husbands asked our brother for permission, so to speak, because our dad's... Just he has he got married and had other children, and so he's busy. So
he's a busy.
That's a separate show.
That's a separate show.
So both of our husbands asked our brother Josh for permission.
Oh, that's sweet.
And awesome. The answer to Aaron when he asked for Juliet was, "Are you sure?"
No, he said, "If you can handle her."
Hey, touche.
Yeah, and
so somewhat similar to mine. So.
My mom's issue with me is just telling me no in general without a good reason. Like, and so that was when our biggest fights would happen.
She didn't have control over you.
No, and so like
teenagers.
Anytime,
that's why.
Yeah,
it's
teenager.
Here.
It was
here.
Just like. She didn't have to worry about the boy thing. It was like the moment she said no, I'd be like, oh, yeah? You know, and that's when we would get in the big fights. But with my sister, it was more of the boy issue.
I specifically remember one of my close girlfriends told my mom, she was like, he just wants her because she's a virgin. And it's
wow.
Like, yeah.
Yes,
to
yes,
who?
Like,
to you?
Priscilla. Yeah, bitch. Yeah.
You, calling you out.
There are predators
Priscilla's
out there. People
here.
That. So I just give
that's
you.
That's not true.
Wait, hold on.
I'll give you a funny story. Maybe not a funny story,
no,
but
not yet, Paul.
Okay.
Tell me.
Don't forget your funny story, but real short. Priscilla told our mom. She was like, "Oh well, I heard that he's only dating her because she's a virgin, and like he wants to like accomplish it type thing or whatever."
Yeah.
And so, mom told me. And I confronted her, yada, yada, yada. It was a whole thing. Anyways, Mike and I dated for almost 8 years.
I know,
so
yeah.
It wasn't the situation. And I ended up telling mom, I was like, I'm not going to stop seeing him. I'm not, because Priscilla's wrong. There might be jealousy involved in there, you know, whatever. And she goes, so you're going to go behind, you're going to sneak behind my back. And I said, no. I'm telling you, I'm not going to stop. I'm not
There
sneaking.
You go. Wow. Yeah. Mom never had to
Even
deal with those issues.
Even as a 14-year-old, I was like, no, there's no sneaking involved. I'm not lying.
Different issues for different,
it's different.
Kids.
It's
yeah.
I'm scared.
It's
I'm very scared. But for 8 years, I would be vindicated. I would feel vindicated as a parent that I saw my teenage daughter develop an adult type relationship for 8 years with a human being. I would rather her do that than be a slut and sleep with randoms, right?
And... Tony was saying he created like a safe environment. You felt that you could tell mom those things.
That was my safe environment.
Yeah, mom did create that. I thought that was very important when you said that. Like, as a new parent, like, how do we open up those lines of communications to make it so our kids don't fear us, but they also fear us just enough that they know that they're doing something wrong, but they want to talk to us about it.
I thrive on fear in my parents.
Oh, so,
well,
yeah,
and the only answer to that question is... I always listen to what she had to say.
That's the most important. That's what Julia and I tell each other.
Yeah.
And
we
so
need to listen
that gives you the better chance.
We
it doesn't
do need
guarantee
to listen
anything.
More.
You know, because there's some lies in there, too. It wasn't all heaven. Let me tell you.
So let me ask you then, when it does come down to disciplining a 16-year-old, what do you do and what sticks for her?
Let's see. Nothing really sticks too much because I don't beat her or anything.
Yeah.
When she was young.
It's hard to beat them when they get older.
Yeah. When she was young, she saw a couple times that what it what happens when you piss me off like that. So she avoided that throughout the course of
Mom did that too. There was only a few instances that we would actually really push her to that limit where Mom comes storming up those stairs and I had to flip open that window and scream.
Oh my God, those are my best childhood memories. My best childhood
memories. When she
memories.
Had to scream?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Because my mom and Juliet always wrestled like sisters. And Juliet would run. I'm not kidding, dude. Don't she would me. Run to the nearest window and open it. And she would threaten my mom and she'd be like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to scream. And then my mom would be like, don't you dare. The neighbors are going to call the cops.
Mom's
she would
biggest
open
social
the services window. Showing up.
She would open the window and she would go, help! And I would hysterically laugh watching my mom. My mom was so mad. My mom wanted to beat the fuck out of her, but it was so funny. My mom would be laughing at the same time. She was like, this is not funny.
I would find the nearest window and be like, come any closer.
And I'm going to yell for help.
Who even thinks of that?
That's what I'm saying. Really? You're a lunatic. She was like 16.
I'm so glad my daughter never did that.
So good. It's such a good
move. That wouldn't have gone over well.
It's a good move.
The problem that I have is that...
Oh, I was kicked out multiple times. Don't worry. My mom changed the locks
on her.
Put my shit in trash bags, and I lived with teachers, and she'll deny all of it. But it's,
you chose it.
I'm so grateful for how she raised me. I will kid you not. It made me who I am today.
Mom had a fierce follow through, and that's all you have is your follow through.
Fierce follow through.
All you have is your word.
It is. Yeah, you have your follow through, one of the problems that you have today as a parent versus when we were younger. If it was like, go to your room, you're grounded, we'd be bummed out because we want to be outside rocking and rolling, you know? But now it's like,
now
you're in the room, I got to change passwords and wireless names. And I'll give you a quick story. So she was late
on... I want to hear Paul's.
Yes, we got to hear Paul's story too. She was late on an essay that was due in English. And I'm like, you're not... you're gonna be grounded, whatever, until you do it. And
she doesn't believe you until you do it.
So I changed the wireless name to SA Done ? With a new password.
Good job.
So when she went on, she goes, "Where's the Wi-Fi? Where's the Wi-Fi?" I go, "Take a look, Dad." Are you serious?
Oh my God, I love it.
Oh my.
Did she end up?
She ended up doing the essay. Yeah.
Excellent.
Good.
Well, she got a good grade on it too.
That is a non-confrontational
amazingly enough
solution.
But so he's utilizing things that she needs in order.
What else you can do? Yeah. If you go to your room, they're like, cool.
Cool. I got.
I do that anyway.
Stuff. Well, and honestly, even from your 16-year-old down to my 4-year-old, we don't give timeouts in his room. There's all his toys.
No,
we
give timeouts to Bowie in her room ever since she was little, and I make her sit on her room with no pillows, no toys, and I tell her if I check on you and you're touching a toy, I throw it in the trash.
Oh, I
know. Since she was a baby.
Yeah, and for Ezekiel, I have him on a stool in the living room so he can watch everybody else having fun. Be like, you could be having fun.
I have to do that.
Goodness.
It works.
Listen, it works because
I've done that at the beach because your follow through is so fucking important. Mm-hmm. If I just spent $100 at the grocery store packing the cooler to go to the beach and people are waiting for me, I can't say, pull it the fuck together, otherwise we're not going to the beach because you're punishing me. We're going to do is we're going to go to the beach and you're going to sit on the chair and watch everybody else have fun.
Yes, absolutely.
And I just want to, as a disclaimer, throw out there, that works when they're young.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's why
I could take away everything.
Absolutely.
From my daughter and ground her, and she'd go like, oh, awesome, I can take a nap now. Great.
Right. I know.
So that's why I wanted to know what
I want
you
this
do
insight
for...
into my teenager.
Yeah, I want to know what you do.
It's
for
more. It's more of, can I go here or there?
You have to hit them where it hurts, and it differs
and
with every, you know, either son or daughter or age and everything. It's true. It's so true. Right. The older they get, it's harder to scare my oldest.
It's going to get much more hard to scare them.
I'm so scared.
But let's hear Paul's story, because I'll tell you about Coachella, because that's a parent.
And then I want to hear about Coachella.
When I was young, my parents came
you
up with
young,
the best.
Hey, stop picking on Paul, will you? He's a good looking man. I don't appreciate you two picking on him.
That's right. Come back again, Tony, please. My mother did the best trick that anybody ever did, and I think my wife's father did the same thing. I was an only child, too. She made me care about how she felt. So when all she had to do was show that she was hurt and I felt bad. Worse than beating me, worse than taking stuff away. If I really cared about how she felt, she could just, with a look, devastate me.
How did she do that? That's magic.
It's magic. I wish I could do it. I tried to do it myself, you know, with my daughter. I think I did to a certain degree, but I think, and I think that if you ever lose that, that was always my fear. If you lose that, where they stop caring, then you have no control. You can beat them. You can punish them all the way. And they're going to do drugs. They're going to run away. They're going to do whatever they want to do. Yeah.
And I'm trying, but it's not working. So I want to know why.
But Amanda, I do see, though, with Bowie, like when you are legitimately upset and when you do have tears coming down, Bowie gets so concerned. And that's when she really checks herself. I do see that from the outside.
I doubt it.
No, see, but I came
to mom, so very quick 2-minute story so I can hear Coachella, because I need to know about this, because I don't even want my kid to go to Coachella.
Ever.
Anyway, don't ever let them go.
Don't.
But I don't have a choice, because my husband is the type that's like, you sit down.
By the way, I went to 3 types of Coachellas when I was her age. So.
See?
Yeah, there you go.
And look how I came out.
Yeah, my mom let me travel the world when I was 19 against her will, because my aunt and uncle said, let her go, and I don't know how I'm going to deal with that. So, anyway. So I remember our mother is my daughter's preschool teacher, and my oldest has always been so hard for me. And there's been a couple mornings where I just went straight to my mom's room, even when my kid wasn't in my mom's room, and I just cried. I was like, she's so mean, you know. And I just told her about how hard the morning is. And like one morning in particular, I was like, I said shit I shouldn't have said. I'm just so mad, you know. And she goes, what did you say? And I said, I told her she makes it unenjoyable to be her mother. I don't want to be her mother. It's so hard. Wow, yeah. You know? And she's like, it's okay. She goes, she needs to see the change in your face.
Yes.
She needs to see the change in your expressions. And she needs to see that even moms cry.
Yep.
She said the most important part is the conflict resolution skills that she learns and earns, or not earns, but learns from it or whatever. So even if you got in a huge fight in front of, you know, with your spouse or your significant other in front of your kid, don't dwell on it. What's more important is that they see mom and dad can be mad at each other. They can be very upset. They can take a break from each other. They cannot want to talk, but they do need to see the end
result,
where they fix it, you know, yada, yada, yada.
And that is so important, because Ezekiel and Malachi, I can change my voice to this mom voice where I have them stop in their fucking tracks, and they will.
I know,
start
it works on me too.
And they will start crying. I know, because I get this mom voice. I don't even have to do anything.
But I have to agree with Tony that it's not going to work when they're older.
You're right, but it's this caring. Like Ezekiel sees my face, and I hope. Well, and I'll stop talking to him. My thing is like, because I don't want to say the things I don't want to say.
Right.
And so I actually stop talking, and Ezekiel will be like, mommy. And I'll be like, Ezekiel, mommy needs a break. And I just start picking up the house, and he like follows me. So he does see that I'm upset.
So that's why I tell Bowie, I'm really stressed out right now. I'm not mad at you. I'm just really stressed out. And I need you to help me. I mean,
she's like, I understand. I'm going to tell my sister the same thing.
Yeah, for real.
Oh, my God.
So let me ask you one other tough question here, since we're in the tough questions. Drugs. I was frightened to death that my daughter would drift into drugs. And she never did, thank God. Something in her just totally wasn't interested.
Good for
didn't
her.
Didn't go there.
That you
wasn't
know
tempted.
Of.
No, really, I think honestly.
No parent likes
really
to hear that, Julia.
I'm kidding, God.
I think you can tell, yeah.
And, you can tell.
And I knew parents, we've had parents come in here on the different shows, like the Grief Girl show, and where they will say, I never forgot on the, we do another show called The Grief Girl in here, and she talks about grief counseling, and parents come in and share all this stuff, and Juliet works with that show as well. And, oh my God, this one guy came in, and he had been through every kind of drug. He'd been in jail, he'd been homeless, he'd been near death, he'd all this on and on and on, over and over again in jail, and over again problems. And I asked him after the show was over, I said, what could your parents have done different? He said, nothing.
It was his choice.
That's a great point. And one of the things that the advantages that I feel like I have at this point is I was kind of there back in the day.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was like I could do whatever I want back in my day because my parents had no clue what was going on.
Yeah.
Right. My daughter will even tell her friends, like, you can't get away with anything around my father because he knows if I've been smoking weed or anything. You know, it's like, so, you know, it's a big thing because she goes to, you know, good school, Newport Harbor, whatever.
Has she asked you questions about drugs before?
Oh, yeah.
What,
all kinds
what
of questions.
What does she ask, and what do you tell her?
I tell her the truth. That's did you ever...
Josh did. Our oldest brother tells the truth. Mm-hmm.
Did
all
you
my
ever
girlfriends
do drugs,
skinny.
And then she would bring up a specific drugs, but this show isn't about me, is it?
Yeah. But it's
And
it's
then I would tell
honest,
her,
that
I would
yeah.
tell her honestly, yeah, here's the deal, though. Here's what I would tell her. I go, here's what I wish I had. I wish I had a parent to tell me what was really like, you know, and
right.
what the real consequences were of doing something like snorting
right.
coke or something that, yay, 2 hours, I'm so happy,
right,
and in
right,
3 days
right,
I want to freaking kill myself, you know,
because right.
I'm,
yeah.
I'm crashing and burning, you know. So
right.
I explain those things to her. I think she thinks about it, but it's so prevalent in the world that she lives in. Like, she's told me she smoked weed, and I'm like, okay, let me tell you about weed, you know.
You know, our mom told us she would rather us smoke pot than cigarettes.
Well, here's my thing.
Roll up at a restaurant.
She doesn't have any desire to drink, which I'm much more happy about. Because mm-hmm. she has a couple friends that whose parents seem to let their kids drink.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
My daughter didn't either. I don't know if that's a new generational thing, but she...
It's not a new generational thing necessarily.
I think if it's safe, I think if the parents keep it from being taboo, they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I think what Paul said is they're going to do what they're going to do.
Right,
you know,
right.
some of it's
and
just DNA.
Was it taboo, Paul?
No, and you know,
see?
We talked about it. We didn't encourage it, but we didn't discourage it.
Mom never really.
We didn't make
about
a big
it.
Deal out of it.
Manda didn't drink, and I did. You
well,
know,
that's
like,
why.
It's
but because I didn't drink, I became a bartender, right? Like at 21.
She makes the best freaking drinks ever.
No, but listen, when I became 21, I was like
she hit
full-time
it pretty hard.
Party
yeah.
girl,
mm-hmm.
where
when
she
I was
drank
done,
earlier
and, I
and got
done.
Over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
I was like,
well,
I
that,
pay
you know,
for
that's
this
funny
shit?
That you say that because I bring that up all this because I was exactly the same way. I partied a decent amount back in my teen years, and by the time I was 22, I was done with everything.
Me too.
Yeah.
So
like
was I.
Everything.
Me too.
And I've had friends, and I'm sure you guys can relate to this,
right.
that were helicoptered young, and mm-hmm. as soon as they got out,
they can't get their life together.
They went apeshit.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's much more damaging when you're older doing
I
crazy,
do. I
crazy
1,000,000% agree to that.
Yes,
I agree. Because you want to know
why? I'm not
why?
Doing that on purpose.
Because it's alone. It's not.
But I've seen it time and time
when
again.
When you do it young, you're not alone. And there's that fun party time vibe. Because no one's going to drink alone. That's boring. That's when you like.
But you know
you
what's
need
great
it as
though?
A coping mechanism. But if you do it as a party time.
Right.
And everyone's together. Everyone finishes together.
But you want to know
nice,
what kind of
you know?
Helped me like reel it in. And I think even Tim and Josh. Like. Because we did. Like, I would ditch, and we would go drink by the pool, and we would hide it.
But everyone got over that stage at the same time.
But what I'm saying is, the reason why I feel like I didn't get out of hand is because Mom, we had such a healthy fear of my mother. We didn't even say the word, dang it. We had to say dag nabbit. You know, like, we didn't even cuss in front of my mom.
Wow.
I don't remember that.
Dag nabbit is worse than dang it.
Uh-huh, dag nabbit.
No. Dad said doggone it, Mom said dagnabbit.
So we just had this.
Yeah.
I
so weird.
Had to be
would you
so
live with the
good.
Flintstones or something?
No. our dad, the only way I know how to describe dad is Ned Flanders.
Oh my God, totally.
He is the
even
sweetest
worse.
Little.
Leave it to freaking Beaver, man.
But yeah, I'm just saying, exactly. I think we just had this. My mom had a so. She, a single mom of 5 kids, she had us dialed. As much as I wanted to, you know, as much as I did rebel, I actually was a good rebellious kid. I never
yeah,
did.
Yeah, you were a very clean rebellious.
I was, actually.
She spray painted on her
oh my
wall
God,
in her
so funny.
Room that said, calm down, Mom.
No, I said, relax, Mom.
Relax,
relax,
Mom.
Because I didn't want to say, fuck you.
Tagged.
I tagged it.
That's
tagged
how you tagged
painting.
It.
Wow.
I said, relax. And
no.
it wasn't like, fuck you, yada, yada.
It was like, relax, Mom.
I remember.
Telling someone that's not relaxed to relax?
Yeah.
How does that go?
Yeah.
Well, that's a girl.
I got
another one
out.
Of your little tips with women. Okay, so there's this comedy on Netflix. I think you should watch it since you have a daughter. It's, what the fuck is her name?
It's,
oh,
that's the name of the show, What the Fuck Is Her Name?
It's crazy hormonal whatever. It's like something Copulitz, but she talks about how like women is like a spiral. It's like a, what the fuck did you say to me?
Yeah.
And then, like, it's faster. and then all of a sudden yeah. like your husband and your kids are hiding behind like a... Like
yes.
a bathtub, yeah. and then it's over, and they're like,
well,
"What happened? Are we gonna go to the movies? Anyone
well,
go
and that's,
I know, yes.
And to your point, that's my method of handling it—not to hide,
yes.
but to just say, "All right,
you have to back off."
If whatever word comes out of my mouth is going to make this situation worse, then just shut the fuck up.
Shut up. You know? I love it. I love it. Okay, so I want to, we got 10 minutes left. I want to hear about Coachella. I want to hear about when she actually asked for you to go, your thought process, and then everything that happened.
Okay, so I'll make it fast.
And then ask you about your thoughts on travel.
Okay, so I, she asked a while back, and I said no, because you're not going to, well, because she wanted to use $400-something of her savings.
Oh, that's another thing. How expensive are these tickets?
Okay, well, I'll get to that in a second. So it's $400-something, no. There's a couple classes you need to bring your grains up in. So no, 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 and no. End of story. Then she comes up last minute and it's like, my friend got a ticket that she bought off StubHub and then he didn't charge her because the guy did the payment wrong. So she has a VIP ticket for free to go to Coachella.
Oh,
this is last minute.
Oh my God.
So now I'm sitting there thinking, lifetime. You know, now is when you really have two different people on your shoulders. Going,
oh, I use that reference all the time. My shoulder angels.
Don't. What are you doing, asshole? And then the other side is like, dude, this is like a deal of a lifetime, man.
My shoulder angels control my life. Right.
And so it was like, okay. So then it was like, give me all the details. You know, and it's like parents are going and this and that. And I don't. One of the friends I don't really like. I just don't. Like her family in general.
Yeah. I don't blame you. And I don't even know
and
her.
Then, but I said yes. And I can tell you that the
and why
second
did
she
you
was.
Say yes?
I said yes because my daughter's passion is music. Mm-hmm. And so I.
Those small
and, things. And that was my passion.
Yes, and absolutely. I want to know.
And that was my passion when I was younger, too. And I went to so many of those.
Yes.
And I, you know, I wasn't out of control. And. But anyways, I'm just sitting here telling you this, that I still regret it. You know,
really?
Like, I regret it and I don't.
Why?
All at the same time.
Tell me why, because...
Well, here's what ends up happening. So the girl she goes with ends up... I find out that she's going to stay over another night. She has to be at... My daughter has to be at school on Monday. That was the deal. You come back, you go to school on Monday.
She said my ride won't be home.
Well, I know who it is. She's like, her name's Amanda. Go figure.
Right.
Anyway.
Good job. Watch out for those Amandas.
She won't be coming home. All right, so I'm going to come home with Luke. I'm like, all right, Luke lives right down the street. Okay. It's all good. His sister is a whack job, but I don't care, you know. As long as she's not drunk.
Luke,
no, she's sober.
I know where the
fuck my daughter's giving me... The other thing deal was I need at the minimum every 2 hours.
We're not supposed to use real names on the show, you know.
Yeah, we are. Get out of here. No, Paul, stop it.
Okay. The whole time I've been kidding.
Her name really wasn't Amanda.
He's Steve. Okay. He's kidding. Keep going.
Okay, so she is texting me and telling me and this and that and how's the show.
So every 2 hours.
Every
2 hours.
It was,
I love that.
Yeah, and so then she goes, I'm going to come home with Luke. I'm like, okay. And then so it's like I'm thinking, well, Luke is going to school too, so they're going to. The last show on Sunday is Eminem. Mm-hmm. So Cardi B was right before that. They want to go see Cardi B. And so I'm thinking they're going to leave after Cardi B. No, her sister's obsessed with Eminem. They're going to leave after Eminem. So there's that. There's, oh, by the way, they were camping and they have to get their campsite. Oh, by the way, if you're camping, they don't open the gates till 2 hours after the last show.
Oh, my God. This sounds like a nightmare.
So
you're trapped.
So she's trapped, and I know she's trapped. So it's like there's not... a lot she can do.
And this is her first time there. This is all new to her.
But as a parent,
so basically,
like
she,
not in control.
Long story short, she gets home at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, man.
But you know what?
School?
She was up and ready to go to school.
Oh,
and she
right.
made it. Not only she made it through school, but she has an ROP class, an emergency EMR.
Yeah.
It's called emergency medical response class. That's 5 hours that night.
Wow.
And she went to that, too, and
so
made
she
it through
showed
the whole
you.
Thing.
Oh, that is awesome.
That would be enough for me.
Good job, Alanis.
It was,
that would
it
be
was,
enough for
it,
me.
It, yep. And then she has, you know, it's been, now she's feeling bad.
So why do you regret it?
I'm a shitty
it,
parent.
I regret it because
pizza.
I knew the people she went with I didn't approve of. Then she was telling me that a couple of her friends were rolling, and I'm just like, oh, you know,
Do you wish you would have gone with her and created a different experience? Is that why?
No, you can't do that.
No,
I'm
asking questions.
No, but I'm taking her to Caboose.
Yeah.
So.
No, did you want to go to her to Coachella?
No, I didn't really want to go to Coachella. I've been to Coachella. I didn't
would
really
you
like
have
it.
Assumed he wanted.
I went to.
No, I want.
I went to Coachella, and I thought
what his regret was. Like why?
No, my regret was that her grades weren't where they were supposed to be, and that I knew that the people she went with were going to make a problem,
an issue.
Okay. And then, you know...
But she pulled through.
But in the end, she pulled through, and she showed you...
That helped a little bit.
So what I was telling my sister in the beginning of your story is that I have a bunch of these pockets of memories that I still, to this day, don't believe Mom let me do. but they shaped my whole childhood.
Mm. What are they? Know? What are pockets?
Give me a pocket. Mom let me do like a lake trip, up to Lake Elsinore when she was like, you know, it's like dirty water or whatever, but all right. But like overnight, and we went out, and like everyone was drinking. It was in high school, and everyone was drinking. It was like a lake trip, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like
she let me go to Brooklyn when I was in fifth grade,
and you know, like stuff like that, and stuff like that. Like these are the memories. Oh, I went to like Shaver Lake on a camping trip where everyone was like hammer time, and there's no adults, and there's that age where it's not appropriate where adults go, but it's like I don't want to let you go.
Yeah.
And then mom started letting me travel when I was 19 years old, and I don't
at
know
19
why.
Letting you? That's your 19.
Yep.
But you're 19. She let you?
If you ask me if I want to let Bowie go prowl around Europe by herself and one other friend.
But she's 19. She's an adult. She can do whatever she wants.
But she's still living with you.
Yeah. Oh, I was out at 18. So
probably getting some funding from you,
I moved
too,
out at 21. Oh, yeah. Mom never had enough money to fund me.
No. We all funded ourselves by the age of 15. We had
I don't know.
Jobs.
But the good news is one of my girlfriends had told me, who has older kids, she goes, you don't have to worry about this shit because when it happens, you know.
That's like, true.
You know your kid. Every kid's different. You know if they're ready for it or not.
Yeah, it's not. The one of the things about parenting that you're already experiencing, and you will experience it tenfold when you get older, is right. There's no freaking blueprint.
Not.
It's just trying to figure shit out as you go. The way I've always looked at it, I've tried to look at it is, okay, so I'm always here. I'm always there for her. Mm-hmm. She knows I love her, mm-hmm. and I try to set an example. That's it. That's really
three biggest things. Three biggest
really
things.
All I feel like I can do because
all you can do is give
I'm
the
not
tools.
The kind of person that's going to shove her in a room and not let her experience life. It's just
exactly.
not going to happen.
And I think you have to be consistent, whatever it is. Too.
Yeah, and sure. And everything since then.
Good or bad. Be consistent.
And by the way, I just want to, even though I'm telling you this now, I beat the crap out of myself all the time.
Yeah, do you really do, like at the end of the day? You're
and it's
just,
not, it's never going to change. It's going to get worse.
That's what Jessica says. Jessica, our girlfriend who's on here a lot, she's got six kids together. She's got two stepkids, so six kids together, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she says, every single night, she goes, you just have to tell yourself, I know what I'm doing, I got this, and then I cry every night. I didn't give this one enough attention, this one needed me more, and this one, whatever. She has teenagers all the way down to a two-year-old.
Yeah.
And she goes, she's like, you got it down, and you get so good at it and so confident.
But know the time, there is a time I can tell you that it does get better. After the storm.
Can you give me
a
specific date?
After the
when
I'm going to give
your house and it. Have babies and they're married and
bingo.
All is good.
Bingo. You nailed it right there because all of a sudden I'm a grandparent now and my daughter has calmed down and she's in a wonderful relationship and she has a wonderful child and things aren't always perfect, but it's she has come back to the person that I knew at 10 or 12. It took a long
time. I hear that all the time.
Yes, I can see that.
Came back.
And I have a son, by the way, which we didn't talk about.
How old is
he's 26 now.
Yes.
Okay.
And he was a problem in his teen years. He lived with his mother, and I was traveling, freaking being a restaurant idiot all over the country and world. But he was a problem child, and that was part of that parenting over the phone thing.
Right.
And he's come around full circle. He's a great kid now, and we hang out now, and it's awesome.
Well,
he's not my daughter's real brother. He's a half brother, mm-hmm. and he loves her.
That's so great. Well, what I loved, one of the biggest takeaways for me from you, Tony, is especially with a teenage daughter, and when the kids, like you said, Amanda, the moment they hit 12, their peers are the ones who are teaching them. It's time for us. When does the parent shut up and speak up? To really assess that, like, are you going to fuel the fire?
That is a future episode here. We're going to have to leave that
one
in the future here.
Mom, before we go, I was telling her because my kid starts kindergarten, and so I got really lucky.
I think that's when they start smoking weed, right?
Yeah, kindergarten?
I mean, don't ask my brother. He'll probably
say
that.
Oh, my God, stop. That's, horrible.
No, I think our youngest, our oldest brother said fifth grade. He said, some little black kid smoked me out of work. And I was like, smoked her mouth.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. That's
I didn't know
memory.
That story.
I was all dang.
It's all
that's pretty hardcore.
Though, so.
Yeah, I know, whatever. Josh is he's a great stand-up human being. He never got into drugs. He still smokes weed, but that's about
El
it. He never did anything else. Anyway, so listen.
So I told. So our mother is my daughter's preschool teacher,
right, you said.
Which is a blessing and a curse because now I have to send her off to kindergarten and with like strangers. We know when it's like if you send them over to kindergarten, then it's not a big deal preschool because it's like strangers and then next flight of strangers and next flight of strangers next flight. Anyway, it did me a small misservice because now I have to start all over again where people started a year before me.
Oh, because mom's the teacher now. She actually, right. actually has to go listen to a real teacher, not Nana.
You guys are ready to go into a whole nother hour.
We are.
And I'm trying to wrap it up here.
Long story short,
too late
is
for that.
That I asked my mom, I said, did you get nervous about kindergarten? And she said, no, I always got scared with seventh grade.
Yes.
I said, why? And she said, because that is the age where you've done everything you can do, and they're in the rest of the world's hands.
Hey, that's the age my daughter moved in with me. Awesome.
See?
Thanks, Mom.
She said, that's when it's scary. Yeah. It's not scary up until seventh grade because they don't listen to you anymore.
Yep. I agree.
Well, Tony, thank you so, so much for your
insight. Thanks for having me, you crazy-ass motherfuckers.
We all batshit crazy up in the
thanks to that handsome guy over there,
yeah,
man.
Cheers, everybody. Cheers.
Give it up, mother.